Hello, this is Mark Stokeman, host of Spectrum 360 on the Tantalk Radio Network. Due to illness, Spectrum 360 will not broadcast a new original program on today's broadcast. Instead, Spectrum 360 will rebroadcast the program broadcast originally on Monday, the 26th of May, 2014, the Memorial Day weekend program featuring 9 different segments, including coverage of Memorial Day and the recent March Against Monsanto. This is one of the best recent Spectrum 360 programs. Enjoy!
From Sundress Media Productions, this is Spectrum 360. Welcome. Your Spectrum 360 host is Mark Stokeman. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. and online anytime via podcast. Thank you for listening for the next hour. Spectrum 360 is progressive and features political talk and humor and also the arts and popular culture. Spectrum 360 starts right now. Let's get to work.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Any one of you who feels cynical, just consider where we have been.
You want the truth? You should seek it out for yourself. That's what they're afraid of. You.
This is information the world needs to know.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
Thank you. Bless you. This is the end of the meeting. It's the beginning of the movement. Thank you.
Yeah. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
That's right, folks. Don't touch that dial.
Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360. Spectrum 360.
From the tropical and beautiful Tampa Bay area in the state of Florida, on the eastern coast of the Gulf of Mexico.
Got the sun on my shoulders and my toes in the sand.
This is the radio program Spectrum 364, Monday, the 26th of May, 2014.
You have an incoming transmission.
The revolution will not be televised.
The voice of news information has been...
The purpose of this program is to bring vital news.
Welcome. I'm your host, Mark Stokeman.
You imbecile! You bloated idiot!
What? Me?
He is the most interesting man in the world.
Yeah.
You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece.
Okay, enough of that silliness. Also with me tonight is studio controller and engineer Lee Clark. On Spectrum 360 in this edition, we have two focuses on the program tonight. Focus one is on Memorial Day and a couple of memorials. And the other focus is on politics and political events that have happened recently. Those are the two focuses for this program, which is Monday, the 26th of May, 2014. To start the program, we are going to go to an interview live via telephone with Spectrum 360 associate producer Terry Weeks, because there is breaking news in the last few hours that is happening right in the area I am in right now. I'm in the Pinellas County area, in the Tampa Bay area, in the city of Clearwater, and there's been an incident in the city of Clearwater Beach that started tonight today about 7:30 p.m. Terry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
Terry, can you give us the latest information about that breaking news story that happened this evening about 7:30 in Clearwater Beach?
I can. The last information that I've received, which was at about 10 minutes ago, there were three shooting incidents on Clearwater Beach this evening. One
wow.
of them took place in the Hyatt Regency Garage. Another one was at Pier 60, and the third was on South Gulf Gulfview Boulevard.
Wow, those are, in terms of Clearwater Beach and in terms of Pinellas County, those are probably three of the most populated and highly traveled locations in terms of tourists and just the general population as well. Those are very popular spots.
Very popular spots, so a very dangerous situation. Apparently what happened was a fight broke out between some individuals and someone fired a gun. The police are saying they do not believe the shooting was random. It was not random. They now have eight people in custody. Two of the suspects were shot. And for a while, access to and from Clearwater Beach was closed. All the bridges were closed, but the bridges are now open, and access is available to and from Clearwater Beach.
Okay, great. Terry Weeks, associate producer with Spectrum 360, thank you so much for the update on that breaking news. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay, that ends our breaking news segment for this program. Wow. Quite a serious situation at Clearwater Beach, and apparently the police have done an excellent job in identifying what the situation was and controlling it and getting suspects in custody. I understand there are five of them, and there were three shooting locations. Wow. Okay, so that should wrap up that situation, and the area should be returning to normal now because of the quick work of the Clearwater Beach Police Department and whatever police departments may have been supporting them as they dealt with that situation. Thank you so much to the police. Segment two. Today is Memorial Day. And I want to cover Memorial Day since it is Memorial Day. It's a very important day. I want to just cover a little bit of information about the history of Memorial Day and what it is. The day was originally called Decoration Day. And it was celebrated for the first time in 1868 on May 30th. And that was about 3 years, well, actually, exactly 3 years after the end of the Civil War, the American Civil War. And it was the holiday was originally intended to honor the dead Union soldiers from the Civil War. And it was called Decoration Day. And then after World War One, the holiday was changed so that it commemorated all the United States dead soldiers from all the wars, including the Confederacy and the Union. And in 1971, Memorial Day became an official national holiday. And I'd like to just list the number of casualties. These are deaths related to our military personnel in all the wars that the United States has fought in. And here's a brief list of them. I'd like to read this since it is Memorial Day. In the Revolutionary War, there were 4,435 deaths. In the War of 1812, there were 2,260 deaths. Mexican-American War, 13,283 deaths. Spanish-American War, 2,446 deaths. World War I, 116,516 deaths. World War II, 405,399 deaths. The Korean War, 36,576 deaths. The Vietnam War, 58,200 deaths. The Persian Gulf War, 382 deaths. And also the in the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, there have been 6,809 deaths. And also the American Civil War between the Union and the Confederacy, it's estimated now that there were approximately 750,000 deaths. So that would be the highest death toll of any war that the United States has been involved in was our American Civil War. We killed each other much more efficiently than other countries have killed our soldiers, I'm sad to say. Anyway, that's a little bit of information about the history of Memorial Day. It is Memorial Day today, and there have been Memorial Day ceremonies all across the country. President Obama was involved in one earlier today, of course. The president is always involved in a Memorial Day ceremony, usually at Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, D.C. And there was one here in this local area at Bay Pines Cemetery next to the Bay Pines Veterans Administration Hospital. I have been there in previous years to attend those ceremonies. Very solemn and very interesting. And there, of course, have been a lot of other ceremonies all across the country. Also, at the Bushnell National Cemetery, there was one today as well. So, this is the day to remember the dead soldiers that have served in the United States military. And that's what this day is for. And I'm remembering all the brave soldiers which gave their lives for this country. And I want to remember one in particular. In 1965, I was 9 years old, and I was in elementary school, and I had a elementary school classmate who was my best friend, and his father was in the United States military in the Army, and I believe he was a sergeant in the Green Berets in the Army. Now, this was more than, approximately 50 years ago, 49 years ago. So I'm remembering this from memory from 49 years ago, so please forgive me if not all the details are absolutely correct. But his father was in the Army, and I believe he was a sergeant in the Green Berets, and he was assigned to service in Vietnam. And I lived in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area in Minnesota at that time. And on 10 October 1965, we got the news that my best friend from elementary school, that his father had been killed in Vietnam. The story that we were told, that I remember very vividly, even to this day, was that this was 1965, so it was pretty early in the Vietnam War. He was working with other forces, I believe some Vietnamese forces, and that would have been the Army of the Republic of Vietnam, ARVN. And that they were in the jungle and they were walking on a trail, which is something that you should never do in Vietnam because the trails were mined. So you, even though there were trails, military personnel shouldn't use them because they were normally, there were booby traps, there were ambushes set, and you just couldn't use the trails. You had to walk off the trails. But they were walking on a trail, and my understanding is that he stepped on a landmine, the type that was called Bouncing Betty, because you would step on them, and then they would bounce up about 3 feet off the ground and then explode, which would generate a lot of shrapnel at waist level. And they were very deadly, and that he died very quickly after stepping on a Bouncing Betty booby trap landmine. And we got the news on 10 October 1965. I was 9 years old. It's one of the saddest things that I've ever experienced in my entire life. My best friend at that time lost his father in the Vietnam War. I've never forgotten that. It's shaped my view of war ever since then, and I want to remember him. His name was Eugene Mervin Rick. Eugene M. Rick. And he was a military personnel in the Army, and I want to remember his death on 10 October 1965, since this is Memorial Day. And I've done that for the last several years. Every Memorial Day, I remember Eugene M. Rick for his service to the country. He was killed very early in the Vietnam War. Never forget it. Also, 2 weeks ago, I traveled to Charleston, South Carolina, to the Cooper River. Actually, right across the Cooper River from downtown Charleston is a suburb of Charleston area called Mount Pleasant. And right next to Mount Pleasant and on the banks of the Cooper River, there's a big park called Patriots Point. And it's quite a place. I have been there 10 times. I started going there about 20 years ago because I have a serious long-term history, interest in military history, specifically United States history, and particularly the history of World War II. At Patriots Point, there is a World War II era aircraft carrier. It's the Yorktown. It's the second Yorktown. The first Yorktown was sunk in 1942, June, at the Battle of Midway. Shortly after that, there was another aircraft carrier that was constructed and launched and given that name, because the Navy uses the names for their ships over and over again. So this is the second Yorktown. It's a World War II era aircraft carrier. It's docked there permanently as a memorial to the war, and it serves as what's called the Arlington of carrier aviation. Now, this is it's a memorial to all the carrier aviation crew people, crewmen, both pilots and enlisted people that were radio operators and gunners that served in military aircraft in the Navy that lost their lives. And there's also a World War II era destroyer, the Laffey, which has quite a history and quite a story. You may have seen the story of the Laffey, and I believe it's Battle 360 on one of the military channels. It's a great story about the survival of the ship. And there's also a World War II era diesel-electric submarine called the Clamagor. And there used to be the first nuclear-powered merchant marine ship also used to be there, but is no longer. It's also an aircraft museum. They have vintage aircraft on the flight deck and hangar deck, and it's quite a place. I went there for my eighth trip, my 10th time overall, and spent 3 days in the area. And I did a very interesting thing when I was there. I went on the USS Yorktown ghost tour. And let me tell you, that was one interesting tour. I didn't know such a thing existed until I went back this last time. And I found out about this tour and took it. And it was very, very interesting. And that was because of the man who conducts the tours. His name is Bruce Orr. He's a retired police officer. He spent 20 years in police work, law enforcement, as a homicide investigator, and now he's a ghost investigator on the Yorktown. And ever since the Yorktown was docked in Charleston Harbor at Patriots Point on the Cooper River, there have been paranormal phenomenon on the Yorktown. And it's been very interesting to find out the history of this phenomenon. And here is a man who's has a law enforcement background, so he's an expert investigator. He's a death investigator, being a homicide detective, retired. And he does these tours, and they're very, very interesting. He's very knowledgeable. He makes it very interesting and entertaining. And he's so funny, he could probably do a stand-up comedy routine. He's that good. So he's very knowledgeable, very funny, very interesting tour. We are going to have him on a future program here on Spectrum 360. His name is Bruce Orr. And there is a website that you can get more information about what he does. It's called lostinlegend.com, www.lostinlegend.com. He also wrote a book, which I have a copy, autographed copy of, entitled Ghosts of the USS Yorktown, The Phantoms of Patriots Point, by Bruce Orr. Very, very interesting. I'm going to go back and take that tour again, if at all possible, in the next few weeks, and I'll be reporting that here on the program as well. It's just a great tour, and I thought it would be appropriate to mention it on Memorial Day, after memorializing Eugene M. Rick and all the other servicemen that have lost their lives in this country. The Yorktown suffered 143 casualties during the war, and there was one incident where a pilot that was not actually stationed on the Yorktown had, for various reasons, had to land on the Yorktown, crashed, killed five people, and destroyed a multiple aircraft during the war. So there were five people that were killed, including himself, just because he made a bad landing. That was the kind of dangerous duty that did happen on aircraft carriers sometimes. So remember all the people who have sacrificed and given their lives for this country. And it is one interesting place to visit. I highly recommend going to the Charleston area and going to Patriots Point. Very, very interesting and very fun. It's a beautiful area. Okay, on to the next segment. I wanted to just remind us also, since this is Memorial Day, that there's been a lot of controversy about healthcare of veterans with the Veterans Administration hospitals and healthcare system. And I just want to say, if people serve and they serve honorably, they deserve our support and they deserve proper medical care. Now, the medical care with the VA hospitals, the actual medical care itself is excellent. So this is an example of the success of so-called socialized medicine. But it's the bureaucracy itself and staffing the hospitals properly so that there's a proper time frame for health care to be provided to these soldiers. That's where the problems lie. And I want to just deplore the fact that we have veterans that are dying while they're waiting for care because we have not properly funded and properly staffed Veterans Administration hospitals. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. And this problem must be fixed. It absolutely must be fixed. And I would like to play a song in honor of our veterans. This is kind of an unusual song to play, but I think it makes a lot of important points. This is Richie Havens and Handsome Johnny.
Hey, look yonder, tell me what's that you see? Marching to the fields of Concord. Looks like Handsome Johnny with a musket in his hand, marching to the Concord War. Hey, marching to the Concord War. Hey, look beyond to tell me what's that you see, marching to the fields of Gettysburg. Looks like Handsome Johnny with a flintlock in his hand, marching to the Gettysburg War. Hey, marching to the Gettysburg War. And it's a long, hard road. It's a long, hard road. It's a long, hard road. Hey, be far, we'll be free. Hey, look yonder, tell me what you see. Marching to the fields of Dunkirk. Looks like Handsome Johnny with a carbine in his hand, marching to the Dunkirk War. Hey, marching to the Dunkirk War. Hey, look beyond to tell me what you see. Marching to the fields of Korea. Looks like Handsome Johnny with an M1 in his hand, marching to the Korean War. Hey, marching to the Korean War. And it's a long, hard road. It's a long, hard road. It's a long, hard road. Hey, before we'll be free. Hey,
there you go. That's Richie Havens, Handsome Johnny, recounting all our soldiers marching off to war. Interesting song, isn't it? That's a classic by Richie Havens, who died with about a year ago. He was a great musician. I saw him actually at the Largo Cultural Center here a few years ago. One of the best concerts I ever saw by a solo guitarist. Just great. Okay, I have some more information here for you, and I want to get to this right away. Yesterday, downtown Dave Wagenvoort, who is the former owner of the Tantalk Radio Network and the station that I am on right now, WTAN, we had his celebration of life yesterday here at the station and at Naughty Nancy's, the restaurant right next door, the next property over, and it was a great event. We had, I counted about 110 people here for Dave's celebration of life, and we celebrated the life of downtown Dave Wagenvoort, the former station owner here, and the husband of Lola Wagenvoort, of course. It was a great event, and I did still in video photography, which I will be donating to anyone who cares to have it, including Lola and the station here. And I just wanted to remember one more time, David Wagenvoort, also known as Downtown Dave. He made it to 81 years of age. He was born on August 10th, 1932, and died April 21st, 2014. Great event yesterday. Also, next segment, I want to speak briefly about the Left Forum. I'm going to be departing the Tampa Bay area to go to New York City to attend the Left Forum, which is conducted at the John Jay College of Criminal Justice. which is a department of the City University of New York. It's right in the middle of Manhattan. And I'm going to go there, and I'll be attending that event May 30th, the Friday of this week, through June 1st, which is Sunday of next week. For 3 days, I'll be at the Left Forum. We're going to be doing reporting from the Left Forum, and you'll hear a lot of coverage that we're going to be doing from that on the next few programs here on Spectrum 360. It's going to be very interesting, excuse me, and very fun. There's more events there that I can tell you about. There's approximately well over 100 different events that happen, and we'll be covering it as much as we can. This is a description of what's going to be happening at the event. The world remains mired in the seventh year of capitalist crisis. The celebrated recovery, quote-unquote, benefits only the few who generated the crisis, while endless economic declines beset its victims, the vast majority. Economic, political, and cultural inequalities deepen inside every country. Class divisions sharpen, and social injustice brings us all to breaking points. Big business, big business and the rich maximize social controls to protect and preserve their dominance. Everywhere they and their politicians impose austerities while reserving public resources to bail out banks and other failed mega corporations. Capitalism's new normal for most people features poor job and income prospects, unsustainable debts, ecological decline, and right-wingers aiming to deflect social discontent against their usual scapegoats. Human and natural resources are wasted and abused, and they expose this system's immense social costs. Even as the environmental crisis reaches epic proportions, the forces of capital either sit idly by or actively oppose serious measures to address it. We can surely do better than this system. The 1% have managed the crisis for their benefit. The question is, can we now resolve the crisis and build a system that serves instead the 99%? The question is on the minds of millions now more than at any other time in half a century. The Left Forum 2014 offers a place for us to explore and debate our common needs for reforms, a revolution, or both. As the system fails so many so badly, activists for democracy, sustainability, equality, and the abolition of oppression and exploitation increasingly grasp their shared responsibility for basic social justice. 50 years of anti-communism, anti-radicalism, hesitant social criticism, and activist mutual suspicions are fading into irrelevance. Passing questions loom for justice-seeking social forces. What is to be done today when a reform brings us one step forward while leaving other important struggles worse off in the process? What type of movements will it take to overcome such challenges? What type of institutions, systems, and societal conditions are possible when transformed conditions of justice no longer take the form of the aggrieved speaking to the grievance alleviators? How do these issues raise the questions of the relations of reform to revolution? More than ever, people know there is a new and different world is urgently needed. How do we get there from here? Reforms, revolution, or strategic combinations of both? That's a great description of the Left Forum. And the Left Forum website is www.leftforum.org. There are hundreds of events. There's going to be a lot of very interesting and well-known and some even celebrity people from across the country there. It's going to be a great conference, hundreds and hundreds of people there, and it's a big deal event, and I will be there reporting for Spectrum 360 listeners. So that's what's going to be happening over the next few weeks. We'll be doing a lot of reporting from there, and I want to remind you that the podcast you can get at www.tantalk1340.com. Go to podcast, go to Spectrum 360. There are going to be, after tonight's program, 39 Spectrum 360 programs for you to choose from. I want you to do that. Also, like us on Facebook. Go to www.facebook.com, Spectrum 360 radio program. Like us on Facebook. We're going to break for network news and commercials for 5 minutes. More Spectrum 360 after the break.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
This is Michael, host of the Blind Matters Radio Show. And now we're on 1340 and 1400 on your AM dial every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5. We have a new show that's catered to the low vision, legally blind, and the blind community, people like myself. Tune in, listen, learn, and have fun every Saturday from 3 to 5.
You may be owed some money. After 911 and 411, call 541. That's 727-541-1741. Call Gulfstream Motorsports for a diminished value report. Due to my 28 years experience in the auto salvage business, I'm very good with wrecks. So if your car's been involved in a wreck, call me for a diminished value report. Call 727-541-1741. You may be owed some money for the lost value of your repaired vehicle. And visit us at GulfstreamMotorsports.com.
Join us on Tuesdays for Random Talk, where we talk about everything. I'm Jim. I'm a collectaholic. My website's at realart.net, realart.net. And my colleague?
I'm Dr. Paul Cox, chiropractic physician.
And we want to hear from you about anything you want to talk about, because this is Random Talk.
Random Talk, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Every 10 seconds in America, a new small business is started. Behind every small business, there's a story worth knowing. Let's Talk Small Business with John Fraser. He's on a mission to celebrate success by spotlighting Florida small businesses, covering issues that hit home, your pocket, and your small biz success.
Biz Buzz Tampa Bay, Florida's hottest small business talk radio show, Saturday mornings at 9 a.m.
This is the radio program Spectrum 360 for Monday, the 26th of May, 2014. I'm your host, Mark Stogman. Remember the YorktownGhostTours.com, www.YorktownGhostTours.com. There's some interesting things to read there. I'm wearing my Yorktown Ghost Tours t-shirt, too, and most of the graphics are on the back, so you can't see them. I really should stand up and turn around, but that's probably a little bit much, but that's a great tour. Anyway, to the next segment. I did an interview with Michael Fox. He's the regional director, state director for Progressive Democrats of America. And I did an interview with him about the Progressive Democrats of America Anniversary 10 event that was held on Saturday, the 10th of May, 2014. And we're going to spend a few minutes with Michael Fox, and he's going to tell you what happened to that event. Pretty interesting and a lot of fun.
This is Mark Skogman with Spectrum 360. I'm here with Michael Fox, the state coordinator for Progressive Democrats of America. And I was speaking to him about the 10th anniversary event that Progressive Democrats of America conducted on Saturday, the 10th of May, 2014, which was also a remembrance of the recent death of the former chair of the PDA, Tim Carpenter. Michael, how did the event go?
First and foremost, thanks so much for this opportunity, Mark.
You're welcome.
I'm still a little bit overwhelmed by it, actually, just the positive energy of the entire event. It was an unqualified success. We had folks come in from all over the country, the vast majority of them from the about 150 to 200 miles of Northampton, which mm-hmm. is where the event was held. And for those who don't know, Northampton, Massachusetts, of course, being a true bastion of liberalism. And needless to say, a perfect spot for Tim to be living. And so folks came in from all over the country. We absolutely packed a house, up to 500 people in it at any given time. It actually turned out to be a two-day event where our keynote speaker, Bernie Sanders, came into town early. So Bernie being Bernie, quite frankly, he's just an incredibly hardworking guy. He had an event on Friday night that was free to the public, and he was talking about just the core issues that that Tim's been fighting for his entire life, where Tim's an absolutely perfect match with Bernie and Bernie with Tim. In that regard. And interestingly enough, the last campaign of Tim's life was to come up with the let's draft Bernie Sanders to run for president. And there's a petition online right now as we speak. If folks want to check out the PDA Facebook page, there's a link to that petition. Please do sign it. And in a nutshell, Bernie knocked it out of the park on Friday night, knocked it out of the park once again on Saturday with our other speakers. Tom Hayden, Medea Benjamin was there, Jim McGovern, one of the stalwart progressive congressmen who's known Tim for years and years. And Tim actually was lucky enough to have Jim as his congressman due to redistricting over the last year. And that there was something truly beautiful about that, because those two guys were insane. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And because Tim had been battling for years with Richard Neal, who tends to be a bit more of a corporatist, and we have a real hard time getting him on board. And that was Tim's congressman for years. And it was a constant source of strain for him, and then just the magic of redistricting, and suddenly he had it was a great gift for him. And Jim really showed solidarity with the event, did a beautiful remembrance speech of Tim, and just
did other people do a remembrance of him as well?
Tom Hartman and Jim Hightower, and members of course of the national staff. His family was there. One of his daughters did an absolutely beautiful poem that she wrote about missing her father, and not a dry eye in the house. And then his other daughter did an absolutely beautiful video of photographs from over the years, etc. And while of course there were somber elements to this, at the end of the day, I think that the folks on stage, our national staff, who organized the show, for lack of a better term, itself, just the flow of the information, etc., were very good at establishing a reverent tone, but at the same time, celebrating Tim's life. That's something I was really hoping for, and it turned out well. Where you definitely want to pause and recognize that someone has passed and that we all miss that person. The day ended up being a true celebration of Tim, and there's no better way to remember Tim than by furthering on his work. That's what Tim was all about. People say, how did he do it? How did he do it? I mean, the things that he was able to achieve in his life. And there truly wasn't a magic formula. I think there are those who would argue that who he was as a human being was magical, in that there was never a question that he was on the side of those weaker than him. Yet at the same time, here's a man who, and I mentioned on the interview previously, who just struggled his entire life with a body that hated him. He had he made jokes about it. It's just like he and his body just never got along. And
but his values and his commitment and his hard his work ethic certainly did.
I've never met someone who had the kind of work ethic that he did, the passion that he did. Those stories that you read about Edison, how he would nap for 20 minutes standing up and that kind of thing. Tim was that guy. I think some of his very good friends who knew him longer than I came up with the idea that I think at an early age, when he was told he had cancer at an early age, and he had lived with arthritis for years, rheumatoid arthritis. And interestingly enough, something I'd never heard of before, that literally the arthritis took an eye from him. I'd always envisioned, arthritis is going to be a bone problem. Bottom line, arthritis took an eye from all of that going on. And their assessment is that he saw that maybe he didn't have a whole lot of time. So he was going to have to jam-pack a whole lot of life into a short period. And he certainly did that.
Yes, he was motivated. Is there any video of the event that's online anywhere where people can see what happened that day?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, go ahead and go to, it's not there yet, it's being cut as we speak, but it will be there very soon. Go to www.pdamerica.org, and there will be a link right there on the front page. As it stands right now, as we speak, there's a collage of different messages, different pieces, et cetera, et cetera. But the event itself is going to be up, I would think, here in the next few days. One of our colleagues out of Chicago is cutting it right now as we speak.
Great. Excellent. Very good. Michael Fox, thank you for speaking with Spectrum 360.
Beautiful. Thanks for having me. I just wanna be free.
part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
That was Mario Savio from the University of California, Berkeley. He was involved in the free speech movement in the 1960s in Berkeley. And the reason I wanted to play that is because I think it's appropriate for our next segment. The next segment is coverage of the March on Monsanto, or March Against Monsanto, that happened last week on Saturday, 24 May 2014. It happened in downtown St. Petersburg. The rally events happened in Williams Park, and the march happened all around downtown St. Petersburg. It encircled the Saturday morning market and all around and ended up in Williams Park. It started on the steps of the city hall. And this is the sound of the march as it happened. That's sound from the march and rally, the March Against Monsanto rally and march that took place this last Saturday, 24 May 2014, in St. Petersburg, Williams Park, and associated environs. How do you like that? Now, there are multiple speakers, and we're going to play the audio from one of these speeches from one of the speakers at the rally. We'll probably on future programs have other speakers from the rally as well. They were all excellent and uniformly got great information to the crowd. Also, there was a great band there, 1 Mile Final, played, and you heard them starting their live set. I'm going to play a couple of minutes of one of their songs. I happen to have a copy of their studio CD, and the song that you heard start, this is a great studio version of that very song. Enjoy.
I went to the doctor, tried to get better. I came out worse than I was when I entered. What a way to ruin my day. Say it's bad, so you know you gotta do it. You ain't the end, so they don't gotta prove it. Same story as they go from room to room. But I'm feeling good.
But I'm feeling good. He wants to make that girl his wife. She believes that she's allergic to life. Somebody need to put her out in the sun. Your me is not who needs to play. Now is when you need to go outside and shine. You'll be feeling, feeling, feeling good. She'll be feeling, feeling, feeling.
Okay, there you have it. That's 1 Mile Final. They have a CD out, a six-song CD. It's a very good recording, very good performance, very good instruments. It's just excellent, and I really enjoyed it. That is Feeling Good. That's one of the songs that they performed at the March Against Monsanto, March on Monsanto, that happened this last Saturday. Pretty good stuff. I really enjoyed seeing the band, and I highly recommend them. Okay. Now on to the speech from the March Against Monsanto. Bob Lindy is the owner of Acupuncture and Herbal Therapies in St. Petersburg. He serves on the board of directors of the Florida State Oriental Medicine Association, has presented at that same association, along with the Florida Herbal Conference and the American Herbalist Guild Conference. He lectures regularly at colleges and universities and organizations around the country. He volunteers for Acupuncturists Without Borders, Homeless Connect, and Free Community Acupuncture for seniors, as well as other community-focused organizations. He's an acupuncture physician and registered herbalist, and this is what he said at the rally.
I don't know if I introduced myself. My name is Ann Puncasum, a.k.a. AMP. This is actually my third March volunteering, helping out, second annual, I guess you could call it, since it's Memorial Day weekend. We were here a year ago today. So I'm honored to be helping out such an important cause. And so I want to introduce our next speaker here. It's graphics, okay? Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Mr. Bob Lindy.
I'm sorry I didn't make it out for the march, but it looked like you had an amazing turnout. And it was so great to see so many people show up on this beautiful sunny warm day to support such a great cause. For me, I've always tried to support marches we had in any way that I could. This is honestly the first one I've actually physically made it out to, which is a very sad statement. But when I was talking with Amanda, who put all this great stuff and all the wonderful volunteers, when she started to put this together, one of the things she was saying was, what I really need is a couple of really good speakers. And I like to talk, so I go out any opportunity that I have to open my mouth. I do. And I was like, well, I'd be happy to talk about GMOs. And I was the one most qualified to talk about things like the research that's out there and all of the issues that we see in the second, third generation of rats and ultimately, you know, the idea that we are the largest medical experiment that the corporate America has ever instilled upon us as Americans. And I have to admit that I have a bit of experience with that. I spent 5 years in the military and was one of those science experiments as a Desert Storm veteran. My thing that I know the most about is herbal medicine and supplementation. For me, in my practice, one of the things I always talk about was quality control. Quality control. I want to make sure that I have the best product out there. And as I started to look at those products, what I found out was that most of our products out there have GMOs in them. Almost every single supplement that you get from the store, every one of the herbal supplements, when they have been extracted, have GMOs. When we look at our food system right now, our corn, our soy, over 85% of all of those products are now GMO. Well, guess what? Most of the stuff that you've got in your supplements come from corn and soy. They have soy oil in them. They have various types
types of sugars have been extracted as preservatives that are put in as preservatives to keep those things stable. So what I found was, as I did the research in order to tell you a little bit about it, was that idea that vitamin C, vitamin A, vitamin D, most of those things actually have GMOs at the root source of those products. What I found was that there is slowly, there's enough people out there starting to say, I want to make sure I know where the raw materials for my products come from. And they're going to the stores and they're saying, are there any GMOs in here? The good companies are going, I don't know. And they're going to their distributors and they're saying, are there any GMOs in here? And so slowly we are turning the retailers into a place where they know where their products are coming from. But it comes down to a very simple thing. You have to ask. If you don't ask, where did my product come from? Does it have GMOs in it? I won't buy it unless I know it's GMO-free, then it won't be supplied to us. When I talked to people and I told them that I was supporting the March on Monsanto's every single time, and I was like, you know, this isn't a party issue. This isn't about Democrats and Republicans. This is about our right to know what's in our food and in our supplements. This is across any party line, any religious line. The idea is you just get to know. And so when you go to your health food store, when you email that company that you get your products from, ask them. For each of you out here, at some point, whether this is your first march or whether you've been here all along for the 20 years that we've been inundated with the GMOs into our food supply and now our supplement supply, each one of us came at our own time, our own understanding as to why it was important to you. I understand there was a mother out on the march, and she had a six-month-old child. She was like, I don't want my child to be eating GMOs for their entire life. That mother found the right reason why she came out here to support this cause today. So each person is going to find the reason why they are willing to come out and stand in the hot sun and shout and clap and support the people who support them and their right to know. The idea that our supplement line is now being inundated with GMOs and the soy oils and all of the other products and the production of the ascorbic acid or vitamin C, for many people who are trying to be healthy, they may not actually know anything about GMOs, but if you tell them that there is Franken products in their health food stores, now maybe a few more people will come out and talk, and a few more people will start to ask that seller and say, are there any GMOs in there? So if I can get you to convince you to do one thing, make sure anybody you see taking a vitamin pill, any supplement pill, make sure you say to them, do you know if there's any GMOs in there? And they're going to go, no, it's a health food product. Look on the back. If there's an oil in there, chances are it's GMO. If it's preserved with a soy oil or a corn oil or a cottonseed oil, it is a GMO. If it has vitamin C and it was in the slightest bit inexpensive, it has a GMO derivative in there. So make sure that when you go to the health food store, when you go to CVS, GNC, any store in this town or in any other town, ask them, are there GMOs in here? And unless they can prove it, tell them, I don't want to buy your product. You have to make sure they know that you will not buy GMOs. You have to make sure that you let your vote be led by your dollar. Don't buy it. Invest in those people who invest in your health. Invest in the food chain that is natural and healthy. Invest in the supplement lines, the medicines that are truly vested in your well-being and not using you as a scientific experiment. I'm going to leave it with that. I've got a little handout there with some links for you to find out those companies that supply GMO-free supplements that have been verified by independent sources. And thank you so much to Amanda and everybody who came out here to support this cause today.
Thank you so much, Bob. As like I said, you can visit him back at his table over there, okay?
Okay, that was Bob Lundy speaking at the March on Monsanto, or March Against Monsanto, this last Saturday. And you also heard the band One Mile Final, great song. And I had a great time doing this program for you. We're going to be doing more reporting from the field over the next few weeks, from the Left Forum, from Washington, D.C., and a lot of different places. It's going to be an exciting time over the next few weeks for Spectrum 360. Check us out on Facebook. Keep up with everything that's going on. And let's take care of our veterans, okay?
Well, we will continue at another time.
So goodbye and hello.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Spectrum 360 is produced by Sunburst Media Productions and originates from St. Petersburg, Florida. Executive producer, host, audio engineer, and senior reporter, Mark Skogman. Associate producer, Terry Weeks. Spectrum 360 broadcasts live weekly on Mondays at 11 p.m. for 1 hour and online anytime via podcast. To access the podcast, go to www.facebook.com/Spectrum360 Radio Program and click on the program link. Or go to www.tantalk1340.com, click on podcasts, and click on Spectrum 360. Thank you to all our listeners and supporters and the staff of Spectrum 360. Listen next week for another interesting, informative, and entertaining Spectrum 360 radio program.
That's all, folks.